T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Some of you are saying that your favorite thing about autumn, in addition to football, of course, is the World Series. Well, we are going to get the World Series in autumn as long as they stay on track. In fact, Major League Baseball has an extended playoffs, and they will be adding teams, adding games, and will be starting in a week. Do you know that? We're in the final week of the baseball regular season. It's weird, isn't it? It really is. It's like it just started because it just started. And yet the playoffs are taking shape before our eyes. Congratulations to we're talking about Oakland sports, the Oakland Athletics, who clinched the AL West. And they win that division, I believe, for the first time since 2013. So the Astros have dominated for quite a while now. But the A's win the division by virtue of a couple of different things that happened on Monday, their win and Astros' loss. And so that's a bit of a changing of the guard there for the team that has been so dominant in that division for a couple of years. We're starting to see the various pieces of the puzzle fall into place for Major League Baseball. But it was still jarring to me when I was listening to the radio, I believe, on Monday when I woke up, and I heard this promo on satellite radio for the last week of the baseball regular season. Wow, that came quickly. And yet, of course, we do have the expanded wild card round. If you're excited about that, you have that to look forward to. I'm not so much. I will withhold judgment until I see how it plays out. But we've got wild card rounds. We've got 16 teams, which is more than half of baseball, that will proceed into the postseason. And then they'll be in a pseudo bubble format once they get to the divisional series. And so we'll talk a lot about that in October, of course. In fact, we'll talk about it at the end of this month because the playoffs start, I think, a week from Tuesday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. The Tampa Bay Rays, the New York Yankees, they have both clinched playoff spots in the AL East, though right now the division title is still up for grabs. The White Sox, we had talked about them being back in the playoffs for the first time in over a decade. The White Sox and Twins have both punched their tickets to the postseason, as have the Oakland A's, who did, in fact, win the division title already. In the National League, it's a little more clumped together for a lot of the teams. Only the Dodgers and Padres have clinched their playoff berths, and the Dodgers actually haven't yet won the NL West. They have a 4-game cushion over the Padres. So while that magic number is shrinking for the Dodgers to extend their division title streak, I think it's at 7 now. Don't quote me on it. But I think the Dodgers have won the last 7 NL West titles. Padres are one of the revelations, definitely one of the great surprises of this baseball season. It's cool to see this plan and this rebuilding project come together in such a way that they're going to make the playoffs. And they, of course, haven't been there for quite a while as well. But in the NL East, in the NL Central, we do not have any teams yet who have locked up their spots. And still a lot to be decided in Major League Baseball. But some of you are saying the World Series, the Fall Classic, which will be held at a neutral site. That's the new ballpark in Arlington, Texas. That's where we'll have the World Series come late October. I know many of you are looking forward to the NBA finals as well as the Stanley Cup final. And it is a little weird that it's going on in the fall, but maybe that's what you're most looking forward to. I don't know. I guess it's possible. I'd have to look at the dates. But if they're playing every other day, the Stanley Cup final shouldn't continue into October. But we know that the last possible day of the NBA Finals is October 12th. And so they will absolutely be playing into the month of October. So it's a little odd, and yet the finish line is in sight. And so for the NBA, they're down to their final four, and now you've got three games played in the East where the Celtics are still trailing the Heat by a 2-1 margin, though they did win game number three. And then in the West, of course, we saw that Anthony Davis buzzer-beating three-pointer on Sunday night, and that put the Lakers up 2-0. So we'll talk more about the hoops as we head through this edition of the show. But did you also know the Stanley Cup Final Game 2 was taking place in Edmonton on Monday evening?
Right circle, Kucherov in front, point! Score! Yeah. Point! Beautiful! Up and over Hedman! Power play goal for the Lightning. It's 1-0. Right circle, Kucherov. Cross ice. Palat shoots. Score! Yes. Open net for Palat. Incredible puck movement by the Lightning. It's 2-0. Two power play goals. Shot deflected by Lindell over the net. Here's Blake Coleman, right circle. Back at the right point, Shattenkirk. Shoot, score! Quick little shot from Shattenkirk. It may have been tipped on the way in. It's 3-0 Lightning with 4:44 left in the first.
It seemed like it was just a matter of time for the Lightning, and they scored three goals in the span of just over, actually, it was just under 4 minutes. Yeah. Just under 4 minutes. And so they got three different guys, Braden Point, Andre Palat, and Kevin Shattenkirk, and you hear the calls there on the Lightning Radio Network with Dave Mishkin. Three goals in 4 minutes in the first period, and didn't score again. And they had to withstand a late flurry from the Dallas Stars. Now, part of the issue with Tampa in game one is that they didn't capitalize on their opportunities. But they've put a flurry of shots on net. And if you know the Lightning, you know that's what they're capable of. They have a lot of different guys who can score. And they do put a ton of pressure. When they're in a groove and they're in a good rhythm, they put a ton of pressure on opposing goaltenders. And so they outshot the Stars in kind of this flurry over the course of late game one into game two, took advantage of those opportunities in the first period on Monday night, and they stood up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. Kind of a cool milestone for longtime Lightning member Nikita Kucherov. He has had a phenomenal playoff run. And so he's a major reason why. I mean, he's a key to a lot of what the Lightning do. And he had already set the new franchise record for goals. In playoff goals, but in a single playoff run, he now owns the record for 28 points. How about that? With two more assists on Monday night, he set the new franchise record, 28 points in this postseason run. So a single postseason, no one has ever racked up more points than Nikita Kucherov. And for Victor Hedman and Braden Point, you can kind of tell when you hear them talk after the game, there was just a matter of breaking through and then a matter, of course, of protecting that lead once they had it.
Yeah, I think we were a little bit, obviously we're up 3-0, and, you know, we took a lot of penalties in the second, and we were on our heels a little bit, and Vasa made some big saves, and, you know, then it made it 3-2 early on in the third, but I think after that we really, you know, got back to what makes us successful as a team. We got pucks deep, we were good on the forecheck, we got some good opportunities, you know, we scored a goal, but it was obviously disallowed, so, you know, I just like the way we responded after we scored our second goal, and we really, you know, closed them out.
Just scoring that first goal is big. I think that's all we're thinking about. You know, we're staying positive with the power play. And tonight, I thought we stuck with it. We were crisp on our passes. And, you know, we had some guys, Cooch, making some great plays. So I don't know if it's a sense of relief. Just happy to get a goal.
The Tampa Bay Lightning were 2-for-4 on the power play. So two of those three first period goals coming with the man advantage. and Braden Point had the first one, while the Stars were only one of five on the power play. Otherwise, the stats were very, very similar. Two evenly matched teams, the Lightning and the Stars, now knotted at one through two games of the Stanley Cup Final. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. If you still want to vote for Monday MVP, we've got that poll live, and soon we'll give you the candidates for Touchdown Tuesday, your top touchdown calls of the weekend. But at the same time, as we hurdle our way through these final hours of summer, I'm not kidding you, we're just over 6 hours away from the official start to fall. I love the season of autumn. There's so much that I look forward to this time of the year. And yes, it does have a lot to do with the weather. It's one of the reasons that I love being from New England, that I really enjoy living in the Northeast, because I love four seasons and I can find the beauty in all of them. But in the autumn season, there are cooler temperatures. Generally, the humidity is dialed way back, and there's orange everywhere, but also the leaves changing colors. And then there is this, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because they're the hunting season. There always seems to be this mass influx in the neighborhood that I live in of deer during that time of the year. Maybe they're coming out of the woods. So I don't know why, but Penny and I had a close encounter with a buck on Sunday night. So I take her out just before I get in the car and drive into New York City to go to work. And there's a lot of trees in my neighborhood, but we also live not that far from a community that is completely wooded. And so I think they come out of there as well. And so I hear this rustling, not in my driveway, but there's a line of tall bushes between, it's a pretty thin line, but a line of tall bushes between my driveway and my neighbor's house. And so I hear this rustling in the bushes and I'm thinking, okay, well, it better not be a skunk, because I had this big fat skunk in my yard earlier in 2020. But it stopped rustling after a second, so I didn't really think anything about it. Penny and I decided to go that way. I mean, I just follow her wherever she goes to go to the bathroom. And so we walk around the front of this row of bushes from my driveway onto the sidewalk in front of the house next to me. And all of a sudden, we are face to face with a buck. So he is standing right next to my neighbor's house, and he couldn't have been more than 10 feet from me. Now, I have one of those mag lights, a big flashlight that I use. Not only is it a light, but it's a weapon just in case I need it. Those things are heavy. Anyway, so Penny and I are out there. We're on the sidewalk. The deer is standing in the yard, and he's so handsome. Not an older buck. He was relatively young, but he was so pretty, and he just stood there. Now, I didn't even see the second one. There was another one that was in the dark that I couldn't see that all of a sudden takes this flying leap, and I'm not kidding you. You know how these things can jump. He leaps over the flowers on the other side of the neighbor's yard. That's in one leap, then leaps over his driveway, over my neighbor's driveway, into the next yard beyond that, and is gone in like two big leaps, is across the street and is down the road. But this other buck just stood there and looked at us. Now, there would be years past where my dog would have charged the deer. For whatever reason, she just stood there. And I don't know if she's protecting me. The best dogs will stay with their people to make sure that they guard their people. Not that the buck looked all that threatening, but Penny just stood there and we all looked at each other for a second. and then she just went about her business. She kept walking. She went pee. She turned around. She went back to the house, and the deer and I just stood there and looked at each other. So I was trying not to flash the deer directly in, flash the light directly in the deer's eyes, because I didn't want to scare it. But it just stood there. It didn't move. Maybe thinking that I would believe it was a statue and not alive. But he was really handsome. And so we were just kind of a few feet apart. And that seems to happen a lot more in the fall, I guess, because the deer population's kind of stirred up and moving around. So it was pretty cool. No, I did not pull out my phone and take a picture, so you don't have to ask. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. What's the... Other than football, what's the favorite thing for you about the autumn season? Let's talk to Larry, who's in South Carolina. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Amy. Hey, listen, the deer story, let me tell you something. I'm sitting out back having a smoke a couple of days ago, and it was the same thing. All of a sudden, my lights turned on because they're motion sensored.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, man, that's the biggest dog I've ever seen in my life. And then I look closer, and it was it was the doe. Now, here's how this works. The doe, she leads the herd.
Of course.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because she's, like, looking for food and stuff.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I see this huge, huge buck with these antlers on him, and all the little fawns are behind him. There's, like, three of them behind him.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, wow. So I did snap off a picture real fast. And, of course, when they heard the sound, they were just like, bam, they were gone.
Aw.
But, I didn't mean to scare them. But I was really happy to hear my listen on the radio on Westwood One to hear my Raiders win tonight again. And I'm a longtime Raiders fan. I mean, I'm talking Ken Stabler, those guys way back in the 70s. But I will tell you, I'm not a fan of watching on TV. I'll listen to the radio, but mm-hmm. With all this kind of nonsense going on, it's like,
Wait, now, is that because of the noise that you're hearing, or is that because you're, I don't know, is that something to do with the Raiders, or that's not specific to your team?
Oh, it's... kind of the stupidity that's going on as far as
careful what you say, because not everybody thinks it's stupid.
I understand, Amy. I'm talking about somehow they're how do you put this?
Well, obviously you're not doing it very well. I understand if it's not something you want to watch. I get it. So you could turn the game on after the pregame ceremonies and you would miss all of it. A lot of people do that. It doesn't actually take away from the football, in my opinion. I still think the football has been very entertaining. However, the fake crowd noise does generally tend to drive me to the radio because I'm not a huge fan of how loud they have it. So I understand. Let me just ask you about the Raiders moving to Vegas part, though. Does that bother you at all, or does that add to your excitement?
I wasn't big about that. And it's like, when we moved to L.A., it was like, okay, all right, cool. And we had great success there. But, whatever. I mean, I'm Raider Nation all the way.
Good for you.
Have been since like the early 1970s, or like actually the late 1960s. That I'm giving away my age, but
I won't do the math. Don't worry.
Hey, and you know what? I'm very happy the Yankees are going to make the playoffs. So we'll see how that works out, right?
We definitely will. There's a lot of teams that are going to be there. Well, Larry, I appreciate your phone call. I hope that you enjoy the autumn in South Carolina.
Thank you, Amy. Hey, and you're welcome down here in Pauley's Island anytime you want to come.
I appreciate that. I do love the low country. Thank you so much. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. 855-212-4CBS. We still have to get into the injuries. And for those of you who are fans of the Panthers or the Niners or the Giants or the Eagles, there were some pretty devastating injuries that were revealed, that were diagnosed. Even when the fears are not confirmed, I think sometimes it's easier to hold out the hope and believe that maybe it won't be as bad as what we saw or as bad as what was suspected. But honestly, I think Monday was worse even than what was expected or what was predicted. So it was a tough day for the NFL and for a lot of athletes who've worked so hard to get to this point. So we'll get to that. But also, did you see Michael Jordan's newest project? This is amazing. I am so excited about that. So we'll talk about this straight ahead.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Denver 103, Lakers 102. Rondo brings in Anthony Davis, three for the win. He got it! No time on the clock! It's over! Anthony Davis hits a three. The Lakers win it. Anthony Davis from the left corner buries a three, and the Lakers lead the Western Conference Finals 2-0.
We want to embody what Kobe Bryant stood for. you know, and honor his memory. And obviously, you know, there's certain games where we're going to feel it a little bit more than others. You know, when we have that uniform on, I think we feel it more than others. And, you know, that's a shot Kobe Bryant would hit, you know. So to me, you know, AD coming off, you know, that, you know, just flying to the wing like that with a catch and shoot with the game on the line in the biggest moment of our season, nothing but net. It's a Mamba shot.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of Frank Vogel on the night when the Lakers wore their Mamba jerseys. Anthony Davis hits a game-winning three at the buzzer to not only propel the Lakers to a 2-0 lead in the Western Conference Finals, as you hear with John Ireland on the Lakers radio network, but also drives a bit of a stake into the heart of the Nuggets because they had worked so hard to come back from a double-figure deficit and take the lead in that game, and they had a 103-102 lead with mere seconds left on the clock. Michael Malone is hoping that they can put that emotional element behind them as they face a game three.
Some guys like to win. Some guys hate to lose. And I think we're a group of guys that hate to lose. Whether it be by 20-something points in game one or at the buzzer, it counts as the same.
So Michael Malone and the Denver Nuggets have an uphill climb, and they will have game number three coming up on Tuesday. It's a little bit odd, though I'm sure it's appreciated by the Celtics and the Heat, that the NBA has made them wait now. They want to get on this alternate schedule, and because of the length of the series previously, the Eastern Conference Finals was already a couple of games ahead of the West schedule, and so they didn't play Monday, they won't play Tuesday, and they've got multiple days off. The Celtics will have the task of trying to tie the Heat on Wednesday. They can make that a 2-2 series, but they've had extra days off, similar to what the Lakers had, too. So the only team that didn't have extra days off was the Denver Nuggets. Though they did have one day that was built in, if you remember. They skipped Thursday. They could have played on Thursday following the Nuggets game 7. And then they had their series kick off on Friday, which I thought was a little bit odd. But now they're in a situation where they will alternate days, and that's what the NBA wanted. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Facebook, also on Twitter, After Hours CBS. What is your favorite thing about autumn outside of football? Because I do believe that's one of the cords that ties us together. And so I love the food from autumn, and we'll talk more about it. I'm going to go through some of your responses on Twitter and Facebook because they make me happy. So do that on our social media, or you can call us 855-212-4227. And then if you haven't yet voted in our Monday MVP poll, your time is running out. You still have a little bit of time, but we will reveal the winner. It's actually a bit of a runaway winner. So, I mean, your vote still counts, but only as an actual number. I think the winner is already decided at this point. So a lot happening on our social media. We'll give you the candidates for Touchdown Tuesday as well. And it's always one of my favorite shows of the week in football season because, yeah, we've got a Monday Night Football game, but at the same time, we also have the chance to kind of catch up after what was a really busy weekend in sport. So I mentioned Michael Jordan, you know, the star of The Last Dance. For those of you who never saw him play, he was the star of the documentary, The Last Dance. And he's also the Charlotte Hornets owner. And we know in recent months, he's turned into one of the NBA's best liaisons, one of the NBA's chief negotiators. He's a very well-respected voice. It's interesting to think of Michael Jordan as a power broker because you might not. Sure, he is one of the greatest athletes that this country has ever seen. And the debate will rage on forever if he's the greatest basketball player the planet has ever seen. But beyond that, he transcends his sport. He transcends the USA. This is a household name. And it doesn't matter how many years since he won his last ring. He's still Michael Jordan, and we all know who he is. But he's more recently turned into a negotiator and a liaison between the players in the NBA and the owners because he was one of them and now he's one of them. That makes sense, right? Both sides respect him. Both sides recognize that Michael Jordan has the NBA's best interests at heart. but both sides can respect that he will be honest and that he understands what they're going through. Not only does he have a lot of money invested, but he's played at the highest level on the game's biggest stages. And so he is starting to diversify more and more, and now he's stepping into a different sport. And this is amazing to me. As a lifetime NASCAR fan, the sport is hurting. I will be the first to tell you, the sport, I've wondered for years now if it was a dying breed. The sport itself has certainly brought a lot of this mass exodus on itself. Okay, so there have been tons of changes to the format, the stage racing. I don't think appealed to diehard fans. A lot of people hate what NASCAR's done, believe that it's more gimmicky than anything. Constantly tweaking the playoff format. I'll just be honest. I don't even bother to figure out the playoff format anymore. Just tell me who makes the playoffs and we'll move forward. It's so complicated that it's not even worth spending the time to figure it out. But I do love some of these tracks that have hosted races forever. I love the passionate fan base. Not only did I go to my first race when I was 12 in Pocono, Pennsylvania, but I've had season tickets to multiple tracks. My family has, and then I had my own season tickets to Talladega for 10 years. In addition, we've had NASCAR guests on the show like Denny Hamlin. And so I've tried to talk about NASCAR as much as possible, though I recognize that because so many stars have left the sport, the biggest names, Tony Stewart, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Jeff Gordon, though a lot of these guys end up doing either a management role or TV, it's not the same as seeing them out on the track. And so there's a lot of drivers that people don't even know. There's so many young drivers, new drivers, that it's a lot to keep keep a roster near you so you can recognize where these guys are coming from. But in addition to that, as I say, there have been so many format changes that it alienates your diehard fan base. And there's been a loss of money in the sport as well, because a lot of sponsors can't afford to pay for cars anymore in economic downturns, and the money's just not there anymore. And so here comes Michael Jordan, who not only is a minority, but is also a man who brings a lot of money and a high profile to the sport. And he is teaming with Denny Hamlin. Now, Hamlin will be a minority owner. Michael Jordan will be the majority owner of a one-car team. Maybe they'll add more cars as they move forward. But I don't think any of us should be surprised, if you follow the sport even mildly, that Bubba Wallace will be their driver. I knew something like this was up. I didn't know that it was MJ. I didn't know that it would be a brand new team. But you knew Bubba Wallace had a plan when he announced that he would be leaving Richard Petty Racing. And so they tab Bubba Wallace as their driver, and this makes perfect sense. A black majority team owner, but one with the money, the capital, the profile, the influence of Michael Jordan. It will bring a lot of new life and energy into a sport that, like I said, I've wondered whether or not it's on its last legs. It has a passionate fan base still, but it's just hard these days to appreciate NASCAR because it doesn't really resemble the sport that was in its heyday, say, 15 years ago. And so Michael Jordan, Denny Hamlin, they both made their announcements. Bubba Wallace doing the same thing on Monday. And Jordan talks about how he's been a NASCAR fan since he was a kid because he grew up in North Carolina, which is essentially the home of the sport. And he also says this: NASCAR has struggled with diversity, and there have been few black owners. The timing seemed perfect, as NASCAR is evolving and embracing social change more and more. Good for Michael Jordan for not being afraid to wade into an arena where there are few minorities. There are some, but of course, Bubba Wallace is the only black driver right now, and there are no more women. Danica Patrick's retired. The other women who've driven on the circuit haven't made it to the Cup Series. And so you've got one of the most recognizable names and faces that sports has ever produced. And he's going to bring that clout with him to auto racing. And that's huge. And so I'm glad that Michael Jordan is trying something new, because I think he does have the Midas touch for pretty much anything that he does. And his enthusiasm for it as well will be great for the sport. So good for you, Michael Jordan. Welcome to NASCAR. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. So vote for Monday MVP. And then aside from football, what is your favorite thing about autumn? We'll get to your responses here coming up.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Man, this Faith Hill song is one of her first ones. It is so old. The song, not Faith. She's amazing. Though, of course, that was really early in her career. But it's one of my favorite Faith Hill songs, Baby Let's Go to Vegas. And I think we're going to have to expand our ideas about Las Vegas. It used to be a gambling town, Sin City. You go for debauchery, and what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. But that's not the case anymore. I hear from a lot of people. Now, I've never been to Vegas, so I'm going by hearsay. I do have a lot of friends that go on a regular basis, and they talk about the fact that the city itself is changing. Yes, you can still get involved in the gambling and everything else that you would want to keep secret in Vegas, but it's become more respectable. And in addition to housing so many other entertainment options, I have always wanted to go see a Cirque du Soleil show, but I'm going to wait until I go to Vegas. So Cirque du Soleil is on my Vegas bucket list when I get there. And now you add two pro sports franchises, and the fact that the city itself has grown so much in terms of its population, it's now a destination for a lot of families to live there. And so... it's great. It's great for Las Vegas. It's great for Raiders fans to expand their fan base, though I do still feel for some who are in Oakland or maybe in LA who feel jilted. It's definitely a choice to stick with a team. If you're a diehard fan, maybe it feels like an easy choice. No matter what that team does, you follow them. I'll follow you anywhere. But it's hard. It's hard when you've gotten into your patterns and they used to be your team in Oakland or in LA and in Seattle, or, you know, there's a bunch of hockey franchises that have moved. How about the Houston Oilers becoming the Tennessee Titans? I mean, there's been movement. Gosh, we could talk about the Browns and the Colts situation. I mean, it's difficult. But if you are a diehard, I guess you figure out a way to follow your team anywhere.
The San Diego Chargers.
Knowing, of course, that they cannot take your love and your devotion for granted. If they take advantage of you, you do have the option to walk. And I mean, see ya. But for now, it's great for the Raiders to have their own home. And so that was part of the issue, is that for the longest time, they were sharing a stadium with the A's. The stadium had dirt. An infield. It wasn't an optimal situation. And if you ask people about the Coliseum, people who've been there, they would tell you the conditions were just terrible. I mean, the whole facility needs an upgrade, and they've had flooding, they've had sewage issues. I mean, they needed to get their own space. And the NFL was really committed to helping Mark Davis and the Raiders find their own space, whether in the Bay Area or somewhere else. And it turns out it's Vegas. And of course, even though NFL and Vegas used to be a forbidden combination, oh, how times have changed. I was listening to the Westwood One broadcast of Monday Night Football, and Jim Gray hosts the pre and the halftime and the postgame. And as always, he has Tom Brady, and it's kind of funny to hear him say, he almost pauses before he says it. We now welcome Tom Brady, Buccaneers quarterback. Anyway, so this is Tom's routine. He stays up until halftime of Monday Night Football, and then he goes to bed. That's what he says. Anyway, Jim asked him about now matching the gambling center of the United States with football, and how the NFL for years resisted going to Vegas for that reason. But now, of course, in Roger Goodell's goal, it's a stated goal. We're not talking about a secret goal. It's an actual stated public goal to increase the NFL's annual revenue to $25 billion a year. This is a whole new revenue stream that the NFL can tap into. And Tom Brady essentially says, yeah, things change. Things happen that you never think would happen. And you couldn't help but think, oh, yeah, he's talking about himself just as much as he's talking about the NFL and Las Vegas. So it was a little bit of the whole read between the lines thing. He never thought he would leave New England probably until the last few years. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. And it's brought to you by Geico. Right now, Geico offers an extra 15% credit on your car, motorcycle, and RV policies. And that's on top of what Geico can already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Again, 855-212-4CBS. In addition to football, what is your favorite thing about autumn? I could go on and on. The food, the soups, the chili, those are my specialties, although I do eat them year-round, let's be honest. Anything pumpkin. So I've already had multiple coffees where they've given me some shot of pumpkin. Oh, so good. And I love pumpkin muffins and pumpkin cookies and pumpkin. Oh, producer Dave, I was at the grocery store on Saturday morning, and do you know they got me? It's all about the packaging. Pumpkin pancake mix. I've never tried it before. I don't even eat pancakes that often. Sometimes after an early morning Saturday run, but I couldn't resist because the packaging was cute. It had a pumpkin on it, and because I love pumpkin.
They got you.
They got me. They sucked me in.
I've never had those before, but if you don't like them, I'll take them.
Yeah, no, I'm going to make them just because. And I love the weather, and I really enjoy the fact that I don't have to mow my lawn nearly as much. Penny and I enjoy the walks and the exercise outside a lot better when it's not humid. So there's a lot for me that I enjoy. Fall foliage, for certain. And then I'm a winter girl, so I also love snow and I love winter, so I don't mind. I love the holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas. Thanksgiving's my all-time favorite holiday. And so having that time off and football, all those things wrapped together. What about you, besides my pumpkin pancakes?
Well, pumpkin pie, all the yes. foods that come with it. I mean, yes. Thanksgiving is my favorite day of the year as well.
Are you an apple cider person?
Yes.
Oh, I'm not so much, but I know a lot of people like it.
All of the above. It's all good. we do apple crisp. I love the stuffing.
Yes.
I love the stuffing even more than the turkey itself. But outside of Thanksgiving, I love the change in the weather here versus when you have the change around springtime. Because like you'll almost get like you'll bite on the pump fake almost. It'll be like, okay, it was like 70 degrees. And then a week later, it's like, no, it's still winter. And it goes back to like one of those cold, like rainy days where it's like 49 degrees.
There's definitely a lot more rain in the spring, at least in the Northeast. I'm not sure. It's not the same everywhere, but in the Northeast, it's definitely. And in Arizona, don't they have monsoon season? My aunt lives in Tucson, and she talks about the monsoon season. So, yes, it seems like there's more moisture in the springtime.
Yeah, but it's almost like I'm running around in shorts one day, and then they're like, no, it's not springtime yet. let's go back to winter. You don't really get that so much here. And even when it's going to be 78.
Speak for yourself. It's 61 degrees in my house right now.
I'm saying once it cools down, it doesn't get back to like 90 degrees. And even when it's going to be 78, like in a couple of days, it's not going to feel bad.
Indian summer? I love Indian summer.
I like this. I know. Whatever this is right
well,
now.
Well, okay, so for people who don't know, in the New York area, we've had probably a week in a row now of nighttime temps dropping into the low 50s or outside New York City. Because of all the concrete here, it tends to stay warmer. But outside New York City, where he and I both live, he lives on Long Island, I live in New Jersey, the temperatures are generally 10 degrees colder. And so when I got home yesterday morning in my neighborhood, it was 38 degrees. What was it in your neighborhood?
My car said 45 when I pulled in the driveway, mm-hmm. and then my kids were getting up for school, and they're all like shivering, but they're wearing shorts and a t-shirt to sleep. And I'm like, well, why don't you put on a sweatshirt? It's not time to put on the heat yet. We'll survive another couple weeks. But they're all like, they bombarded me as soon as I walked in the door. They were like, can we turn the heat on? I was like, not yet.
Paul on Twitter says fall foliage. Absolutely. Another tweet, the ideal cuddle weather. I mean, we don't really cuddle in 2020, do we? We're not allowed to cuddle because of the virus. But I've been hugging people. I do love to hug people. He also said it's hoodie temperatures. Another tweet from the South, cooler temps when I can open the windows in the house. Absolutely. Alan says the cooler temps. A lot of you, like Chris on Twitter, are saying Halloween. I'm not really a big Halloween person. In fact, I'm more of a Halloween Scrooge. Do you know what I do normally? I shut off all the lights in my house and lock the doors and pretend like I'm not home. I might even have to park my car up the street a little way so it's not in my driveway this year. I know, isn't that terrible? Why would I want to give you my candy? First of all, little kids don't need more candy. And second of all, that's my candy. I need that candy.
That's a good point. Yeah. You're better than the person when I was little who would give out a little bag of pennies. I never understood that. I'm like, thanks, but
what is
I want the chocolate. I don't need the pennies.
Yeah,
thanks.
Exactly. I mean, why can't I go trick-or-treating if I mean, I'm not walking to somebody's house and asking them for chocolate. No. Let's see. Larry on Facebook says the holidays and the football, of course, the cooler weather in Phoenix. Jeremy says the fresh air, which I love. Jerry, our friend Jerry Palm from CBS Sports, says Halloween. Huh. Jerry, I wouldn't have taken you for a Halloween person, but that's cool. Ted says the cool air with the windows open while sleeping. Yeah, if I'd had my windows open while I was sleeping on Monday, the temps would have been down in the 50s. But I do agree with you. I love not having the AC or the heat on right now. Derek says fall colors on the Kankamangus Highway. You know what? Derek is doing this. This is a trick. It's not even a very well-veiled trick. Kankamangus Highway is New Hampshire, and it's one of the places that I used to go when I was a kid. And so he did that because he knows I am from New Hampshire and that I would know where the Kankamangus Highway is. Let's see. Jim says vacation. Ooh, amen. Susan, not that I have any. Susan says wearing hoodie sweatshirts. And Dave says the crisp air. I love cookie crisp, apple crisp.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.